classic podcast problem. Yep. Just
like, you know, when you're talking and you can feel that you're going to have a sad time later.
Editing.
Welcome back to Snark Squad Pod, a media podcast made with friendship, feelings, and snark. I'm Nicole Sweeney.
My name is Marines.
Hi, I'm Joey Lewandowski. I run the Cage Club Podcast Network. The shows you need to know about, I have a Fast and the Furious podcast that I'm desperately trying to get Nicole and Mari on, called Too Fast, Too Forever, every other Tuesday. And then every Friday, I alternate the Tom Club, Tom Cruise and Tom Hanks movies, in order. So go check those out wherever you get podcasts.
We've invited Joey to join us this week to talk about The Americans. I have the job this week of giving the synopsis for The Americans, which ran for 6 seasons. So I'm going to give this in the very broadest of strokes. And I've picked like a few key points about each season. So here we go. The Americans is a spy thriller, a period piece, and a family drama all rolled into one. In it, we primarily follow 2 KGB officers who are deep undercover in Falls Church, Virginia, as married couple Philip and Elizabeth Jennings. They have 2 children, Paige and Henry, who start the series completely unaware that their parents are spies. And we also start the series just after the inauguration of Ronald Reagan in 1981. So the Jennings get a new across-the-street neighbor, Stan Beeman, who turns out to be an FBI agent working in counterintelligence, which is kind of a problem when you are a spy. In season 1, Philip is posing as the boyfriend of an FBI secretary named Martha, in order to use her to spy on counterintelligence department. Philip gets caught by Beeman's partner, Chris Amador, who he has to kill to protect his secret. Philip also spends a mission with his ex-girlfriend, Irina, who reveals that they have a son back home who is serving in the army. Philip ultimately decides not to run away with Irina, but lies to Elizabeth about sleeping with her, and we start to see kind of the cracks in their marriage. Also complicating all of this is the fact that Elizabeth was romantically linked to a man named Gregory, who also is one of her agents, and he gets caught. He refuses to get exfiltrated and starts a shootout in order to be killed by the police. Next down on the lovers list, we have Stan, who turns Nina, who works at the Residentura, and he turns her into a spy for the FBI, but then she double crosses and starts spying on the FBI for the Residentura, trying to work Stan through a sexual relationship. In season 2, Philip and Elizabeth try to solve the murder of their quasi-friends, fellow Directorate S agents Leanne and Emmett. Turns out their oldest son murdered them because he was recruited by the KGB and his parents found out. Philip and Elizabeth's handler at this time, Claudia, tells them that Paige has been selected as the next recruit in the second generation program that KGB is developing. Philip and Elizabeth disagree about whether or not this is a good idea. Paige, meanwhile, just wants to go to church and Jesus camp. Nina fails in turning Stan into a double agent, so instead she is arrested by the KGB and sent back to Russia. In season 3, Philip and Elizabeth reveal their true identities to Paige after she keeps getting more and more suspicious of their late night shenanigans. In order to help Paige understand, they start to give her bits and pieces of their true identities and true information, like the fact that Elizabeth's mother is dying. So Elizabeth and Paige travel to Germany in order to meet her and say goodbye to her, but it kind of backfires because Paige just gets even more confused by the fact that her parents are spies, and she ends up telling on them to Pastor Tim. Nina gets another opportunity to redeem herself by first ratting out on her cellmate and then trying to spy on a kidnapped scientist who's helping the Soviet Union develop stealth technology. But in season 4, Nina actually befriends the scientist and tries to get a message to his son, but gets caught in the process and executed. Paige also gets caught as her parents discover that she told Pastor Tim everything. Martha also gets caught when Stan becomes suspicious of her behavior and a bug is found in the FBI office. Philip manages to get Martha out of the U.S. and to the Soviet Union before she's found. In season 5, Martha is trying to adjust to life in Moscow. Henry wants to go to boarding school. Elizabeth teaches Paige self-defense, and Philip and Elizabeth decide it might just be time to go home and bring the kids with them. Unfortunately, Philip discovers new information about the new head of the CIA Soviet division, and Elizabeth can't quit just yet. And in season 6, we jump ahead 3 years. Philip is a full-time travel agent, though he's running that business into the ground. Elizabeth is tired. She's managing a full spy load alone. Paige is in college and still training to be a spy. Henry is honestly just still at boarding school, just doing boarding school things. Elizabeth gets pulled into a secret side mission, and Philip gets pulled into a secret side mission trying to investigate what Elizabeth is doing. Meanwhile, Stan is finally suspicious about the Jennings and blows their cover. He confronts them as they're making their last escape with Paige, deciding to leave Henry at boarding school, but Philip appeals to him. Pinky promises that they were just doing a job and definitely not killing people. Stan lets them go. We watch as the Jennings head to Canada, but during a security check on a train stop, Paige gets off the train and lets her parents head home to Russia alone. The final shot is of Philip and Elizabeth on a bridge talking about their lives and thinking about their choices. I think I did it.
Yeah, you did it. You did the thing. There was a lot there. We started laughing as soon as you noted that Elizabeth was tired, because when Mari started watching, one of the first things that she messaged me was that she didn't understand when these people slept. And I agreed. But I was ahead of her a little bit in my rewatch. So once I got to season 6, I was like, it literally starts with Elizabeth napping on the job, and she has like half a dozen lines of dialogue over the course of the season talking about how tired she is. So yes, she's very tired.
I feel like this entire show, everyone is tired all of the time. Like, as yes. I was skipping around to catch up for this episode, because I rewatched, I had seen the entire series, and I guess we'll get to that. But as I was going around bouncing from episode to episode, I got to one where I was just like, oh, Philip looks exhausted. Like, he looks like he hasn't slept in weeks. And so yes. I feel like that's just like the baseline for all of the characters on both sides of the law.
Uh-huh. Yes. Nobody is getting any sleep. So before we get into the general lack of sleep, we are going to start where we always start. Joey, did you enjoy this show? And I guess a little bit of, you know, your background experience watching with it. I think we can kind of roll that into one.
Of course I did. I actually, do people sign up for this podcast to talk about things they don't like?
Sometimes we ask people to just, like, for movies, we'll say, you know, this movie is out this weekend. Do you want to go see it and then talk to us about it?
Gotcha.
Or, you know, like that kind of thing. So sometimes that
people
answer
get
does
mad
happen.
Because we made yeah. them watch a thing that they didn't like.
Yes. Yes.
That makes sense. Yeah. No, I very much enjoyed this. This is one of the very few shows that I had seen every episode the week it aired. So this was as a sort of weird sense of pride in my heart, because I was there from the very beginning. I was like, this is a great show. Before we started recording, I was talking to Mari about how I feel like watching it week by week, it's a totally different experience. And I kind of wish that I was able to watch it sort of more bingey, because I feel there's so much detail in the show, but there was really like this sense of like nervousness and dread. And, you know, I feel there's the certain TV shows that people talk about as the greatest TV shows of all time or of this era, like The Sopranos or The Wire or Breaking Bad or whatever. And I feel like this show isn't necessarily lumped into that category, but I feel like it should be. And I don't know why it's not.
This was my first time watching, and back when we started the podcast, Nicole and I kind of organized ourselves, you know, with our schedule and just putting down ideas for different media that we would like to cover. And I feel like The Americans was on that list pretty early on, if not mm-hmm. right at the very beginning, because of Nicole's, I'm going to spoil this, Nicole's answer to this question is that she loves this show. So she put this on the list, and we kind of kept it on the back burner because, not having watched any of it was going to be like a big project for me to watch all 75 episodes of it. But finally, we were like, okay, let's do it. Let's just put it at the end of July, and I got to get it together and watch it. And I will just let you know, I think about 2 weeks ago, Nicole checked on me and was like, hey, Maddie, friendly reminder, you should start watching The Americans. And I was so proud of myself because I was like, oh, I've already started. Like, I'm on top of this. But I did not like math, and I did not like realize how many episodes I should have been watching to make sure I was done for this recording. So I was like watching one or two every night. And then this weekend I was like, oh, and I've spent the last weekend like watching 10 hours of The Americans every day. So anyways, I binged this hardcore. But the good news is that I enjoyed every moment of it. I thought that this was so wonderful, very tense. It's one of those things that maybe I would not necessarily say like I enjoyed it because it was stressful and it caused a lot of feelings and it's dark at moments, but it is a very gripping story. It is very layered. I love the characters. I'm so invested in them and I'm very happy that Nicole put this on our list and made me watch it.
Yes. So to confirm what you just said, I do in fact love the show. I 100% agree with everything you said, Joey. I think I might have even said things like that periodically as I was watching it because I also binged watched it for, you know, did a rewatch for this podcast episode. And while I was doing that, I kept thinking about how different this experience was than the experience of watching it real time, both for what you noted, Joey, that like all of the layers and the things that you pick up on watching it, you know, year after year. When they made a callback to something that I saw 5 years ago, I didn't necessarily remember that in the same way that I did, you know, this time around when I saw it 4 days ago. It was much, much easier to note that, you know, for example, the general that Elizabeth kills in the final season, you know, we met him at the tail end of the last season. Like the first time we saw him was in the sort of the fake out when they weren't sure. Oh, gosh, it was they thought that the FBI was going to bust Philip with this general, but actually they were going to bust Elizabeth picking up the recording. That is 100% a thing that went over my head when I was watching the show in real time. Like, did not remember. I mean, you know, I would have remembered if you had explained that to me. I would have remembered that the season one finale, but that was not something that I connected or was able to track while watching it real time. I didn't quite watch it every single episode like Joey did. I think I started watching the show right before the finale, and I watched like the first 12 episodes in a day, and then I watched the finale, and then I was consistent with the show past that point. But I also really love this show. I care a ton about these characters. And if this show wasn't immediately on the list, then I think the thing that prompted me adding it to the list was the Anti-Heroes episode that we did, which was, I think, like our eighth or ninth episode. One of the first episodes of this podcast was basically talking about how much we don't like anti-heroes, with this being a really glaring exception to that for me. So I really wanted to kind of talk about this partially so that I could kind of unpack why this is something that works for me in that. And so I want to start with Philip and Elizabeth and just, I don't know, how you guys feel about Philip and Elizabeth. Like what about those characters works and doesn't work for you?
So as I was going through my rewatch, I found on, I think it was Vulture. Vulture ranked every one of these episodes from worst to best, and their description of each, like the worst episodes, they were basically just like, hey, it's a good hour, but it's nothing, you know, compared to the rest of the series, it's not as good.
And that's the worst they could say about
exactly the show. Yeah, like it's not like it's bad TV, it's just compared to what's coming next or what you had just seen, it's fine.
Right.
But as you get to the top, like the write-ups get longer, and especially, you know, the penultimate episode, season 6, episode 9, Jennings, Elizabeth, like that whole write-up about that episode, it really puts in a perspective that this is Elizabeth's series. Like this is her growth, her change, her evolution. And the way that Vulture was writing about it, and I think it's something that I had thought about while watching but didn't quite articulate, is that the male anti-hero, which I feel like is the trope that maybe you're not crazy about because it's sort of played out, but you know, the Tony Soprano, the Walter White, the guy from The Shield whose name I can't remember right now, like that sort of broken man who's getting by or trying to come to terms with whatever, he's a bad man doing bad things, the Don Draper, whatever. There's not a lot of that in terms of women. And I feel like Elizabeth Jennings in that way is very interesting, and especially because she's so beautifully played by Kerry Russell. It's incredible to watch her growth and evolution and change of how she feels about America and about Russia and about her job. And like, it's not like from one extreme to the other. It goes back and forth, like it fluctuates. And whether she's, you know, intense about something or angry about something or just, you know, very dedicated to something, you can see all these emotions. Like she cares so much and she is that anti-hero, but you can't help but root for her because you know exactly why she feels the way she feels.
I had that. It's so funny. I had not seen this article, but when we got to the penultimate episode and it was Jennings, Elizabeth, it really made me think about the series in terms of like it being a lot about Elizabeth's story. And obviously there's a lot of different relationships that happen here. But I don't know, something about that rings true to me as well. And I think that it's unfortunate, like I don't want to give the show a cookie for doing something very basic, but I think a very smart thing that it did was kind of take our two anti-heroes and flip what you would expect like the more tropey mm-hmm. traditional roles to be, which was that like Philip was very like this was wearing on him more, the whole spy gig. He was more emotional. He just wanted a normal life. He wanted to drive his Camaro to McDonald's with his kids, and like that was what he wanted to do. Whereas you saw Elizabeth, who was a little bit more, you know, stern. She was a little colder. She was a little harder. And I think that had those roles been reversed, there might have been something about this that would not have played out as well to me, because that's a story we've seen before and plenty, but this felt a little different. And I think that in doing that, and then also showing us a lot about their interpersonal relationships. So I was pretty much sold on this show by episode 2, but because episode 1, I didn't realize yet that this was really a show about marriage and family and relationships mm-hmm. with spy stuff. episode 1, I was like, spy stuff, whatever. But then I was like, oh no, like he loves her and she's not sure if he loves her, if she loves him back. Like that was really what hooked me. And I think that by showing a lot of those relationships, it kind of softens the gray area of their actions and all of that stuff, because I was invested in some of these other relationships.
Yeah, I think the way in which the spy stuff is actually secondary is something that's really interesting and great about the show. I started watching it like because in college, I don't know, I just really was into the Cold War. Like that was like a historical interest of mine. And so the Cold War stuff is what drew me into the show in the first place. And yet, once I was actually watching it, I was not tracking any of that. I was paying so little attention to any of that, sort of where we were in time. And it's because I was so deeply invested in this marriage and this relationship. Like, there's a reason that the story starts where it does. And, you know, obviously, some of that is construct. You know, I don't know, it starts there because the storytellers chose to start it there. But, like, they chose to start it there because, in a sense, this is the new beginning of their marriage. Like, this is, as Elizabeth puts it later in the season, when it starts to become, when it's real for them, when it starts to happen for them. And so, like that sort of moment, that initial moment, which is, you know, it tells you how bleak things are kind of from the jump, because the thing that makes it start to become real is that Elizabeth murders her rapist and Philip is not able to defect as planned. And like, that's like the inciting incident. And I also think, kind of thinking about that now, it's interesting that ultimately where we end up is another new beginning for their marriage, this time back in the Soviet Union. The soon to dissolve Soviet Union, unbeknownst to Philip and Elizabeth. But I think, yeah, I think the degree to which the show focuses on this relationship between these two people and their complicated relationships with other people, and the way in which their ideologies interact with all of their interpersonal relationships, has a lot to do with why this particular anti-hero story works for me. Like, it's not, you know, and even the degree to which you say that, like, this is Elizabeth's story, and it's a story that we have often seen inhabited by men, now being inhabited by a woman in Elizabeth. But even that is only partially true, because you still have, like, it is still Philip's story too. Mm-hmm. And so I think, whereas those other examples are very individualist stories. And I think that, you know, even Elizabeth, for all of her ideology is obviously like flawed and problematic. And, you know, she does a lot of murder. So like, you know, there's that, but it's not self-interest. And I think that is also part of what makes it compelling and interesting to watch. I also think that it is noteworthy that the show is constantly forcing them to confront the consequences of their actions. And it is constantly interrogating the ideologies that are driving them to do the things that they're doing.
And I think what builds on that or adds to the stakes of that is how quickly all of this happens. Like, not only are they having to deal with the consequences of their actions, but like, Nicole, as I was DMing you about, like, as I was rewatching, I was like, I can't believe how much of this stuff happens so quickly. Like, I remembered that, you know, there's certain character arcs and everything like that, but like, when characters either get sent to Russia or get killed, I'm like, how is this all happening this quickly? Like, it feels within the scope of the story that they're such a key part, and they are, but like, you know, Amador's only around for like 7 episodes. I'm like, I remember him being around, like, in my brain, he gets killed in like season 2 or 3, you know what I mean? Like, there's so much that happens so quickly. And I feel like when you're, I don't know if there's a benefit to binging in that regard or not, but like, not only, you know, just to go back to what you were saying, not only do they have to deal with the consequence of their actions, but you're able to see sort of the ramifications of it all very quickly. And there are two time jumps in the show. There's the 7 months later in season 4, then there's the 3 years later for the final season. But a lot of it is just condensed time, packed time, where they're doing something and then, oh no, there's fallout, or someone else does something, or someone doesn't do something. And so not only are they dealing with what they, like the results of what they're doing, but it's all happening on top of them while they're trying to be parents and have a regular job. And by the way, not have their FBI neighbor figure out what they're doing, which also he does. He pretty much figures out very quickly. Like, all of this is just so rapid, so quick, and it's just, it's tense in that regard.
Binging didn't really help that feeling. As I was like putting together the synopsis, I was coming across things like Gregory, I think, is in 4 episodes, 3 or 4. And yeah. I was like, that's it? Like, I thought he was in so many more. And even like the stuff with Irina was in season 1, which I didn't feel like it was that far back. So there is just like that feeling of so much happening that it really does, like, when you're looking back. I mean, for one, it all kind of blends together for me because of the like intense binge, but also like it happens, like you said, you're saying the consequences come so immediately and so quickly that it really, pieces of the story that feel key were flashes in the pan, basically.
I think it also speaks to the level of continuity porn on this show.
Yes.
This sense of, oh wow, Gregory was only in, you know, 4 episodes or whatever, because like the specter of Gregory still looms, you know, like there's Elizabeth brings up Gregory at some point. I think it's season 4 after Martha gets sent away. She throws Gregory back in his face, is, you know, because Philip is like upset about this Martha thing. And she's like, cool, I've been through it too. Like, don't tell me that I don't know what's going on. You know, at least Martha's alive. And, you know, like that sort of that thing. And then we see Gregory again in the dream sequence in the finale, which I also thought was really interesting. So there's that, I think, contributes to the sense of surprise, I guess, when you're like trying to look back on the show and look at it as a whole. Like, it's surprising that things happen so quickly, or that, you know, certain characters are only in so few episodes or whatever. On the flip side of that, I was surprised by how many episodes Marilyn was in. I don't know. Like, I just was like stunned, because I definitely did not pay that much attention to their like lookout people or whatever. I don't know. Like, I just, the consistency of getting these actors back to basically play glorified extras, I thought was delightful and great, and not something that I paid a ton of attention to on the first watch through. But yeah, in general, there is so much continuity on this show, and they are so thoughtful about it in ways that, like, it's there if you want to pay attention to it. It's not necessary to focus on kind of the core relationship dynamics, so I don't think it took anything away from my experience of the first watch, but oh man, like watching it back through, knowing everything about where we were going and like being able to pick up on that was really, really cool and exciting to like track the richness of that. I also want to go back to something that Mari was saying about like the gender dynamics of, you know, and Philip being the like soft one. I agree with everything that you were saying about what that means for what the show is doing and how that affects the way that it lands. I also think that it was interesting how in the final season, they set it up for us to see Philip reach kind of like the ideal of that, which is that he essentially stops being a spy and he gets to actually live his life as, you know, American dad, and, you know, runs his business and whatever. But like, one, he sucks at that. And two, throughout that season, there are several little moments in which the show takes pains to remind us that like Philip is also a badass super spy too. Like the scene with Paige where, you know, he's trying to do the dad thing and then, but you know, Paige is like, no, I'm not like you. And he's like, okay, sure. Like fight me and you'll see what I'm like. I'll show you what I'm like. I'll show you what I've been trained to do. And then the scene in the garage with Stan, which I don't want to dwell on too much because I think there's a whole like finale conversation, but like that is also another great scene where there's just a lot of complicated stuff going on there with this mix of Philip's Aw shucks earnestness, but also like he's a spy and he's like working lying him. And manipulating and he is working Stan. And like, and I think it is false to say that any part of that scene is either strategic or, you know, sincere and earnest, but like it, rather that it's both, like pretty much all of it is both throughout. And I think, I don't know, like I just, that characterization of Philip is also really, really cool and interesting that like, even as the show kind of leans into the idea that he is always the one who is a little bit less committed, you know, in the pilot, he was ready to defect. That was the kind of the inciting incident. But like, at the end of the day, he is still also a highly trained spy.
I think part of their story, and this kind of ties into why this is an anti-hero story that I enjoy also, is kind of that feeling of the inevitable. So, you know, you only have to be kind of, you know, have some knowledge of the Cold War and the Soviet Union to know how that ends. And so the fact that we're watching them in the middle of a story that we kind of know is heading to an eventual like breaking point or fall or whatnot kind of puts their whole anti-hero shtick into a perspective that I think that sometimes stories glorify anti-heroes. And here it just, there's that always that somber note of heading towards something that is, you know, gonna break eventually.
It's a doomed mission. Like, and we know this, that we, the audience, have this knowledge because of the historical context in which it lives in. And like, and that changes the way that you, you know, read and understand their story.
And I think the other like doomed part of it is the fact that even it, you know, regardless of whether Philip wanted to or didn't want to be just an American, a normal person, a dad, like that is also a doomed mission. He is a highly trained spy. He is deep undercover. They got him when he was young. He doesn't know how to do anything but this, which we kind of see when he tries to be full-time like travel agent and he's like, wow, I just broke my business. Because that's
it was
not
better when I was barely running it.
Right.
So cool.
Not Philip Jennings and not Elizabeth, you know, so that portion of their story also kind of felt doomed.
I want to put a pin in this doomed thing because I think there's like a separate conversation to have with that around the finale. And I want to like briefly touch on, you know, some of the other really important characters in this show. So how do you
mean
guys
like
feel?
Male robot?
Yeah, well, male robot. Everybody listening at home, toast to male robot, the greatest character on the show. No, I think probably the next character that it makes sense to discuss here is Stan Beeman and how you all felt about his character, the FBI agent next door.
Before I rewatched it, I had forgotten his whole like 3 years undercover with like white nationalists or whatever. And like he's got this history and like over the course of the series, his marriage falls apart and his relationship with his son kind of falls apart. And he weirdly kind of sort of adopts Henry. And then maybe at the end of the show actually adopts Henry. And then, you know, develops a relationship with this new woman who maybe is a spy, maybe isn't a spy. And I remember that being, and I kind of want to get your take on whether or not that was satisfying. Because I remember that being kind of vaguely like, I kind of wish that I knew. Like, there's something to the ambiguity, but I also was like, I kind of want to know. And I love that Philip's like, I don't know how to say this at the very end again. But he's like, your wife might be one of us. And then he just leaves and then never talks to Stan again. It's like, oh, that's not good. But I like that, like, it's smart, I think, that he enters the series with such baggage that like they move in and he's across the street from literally the people he's hunting, but his, you know, he's got more to deal with. Like his marriage has been strained. He's now back and ostensibly working a desk job to maybe spend more time at home, but then quickly falls in love with Nina. And then, you know, his wife moves out and all this different stuff. And I love the complexity, but also the simplicity of him. Like, he's got such depth, but he's also, like, you know exactly who he is. Like, he's a good guy who just can't stop getting in his own way.
Yes, I think that is true. He is a really good guy who can't stop getting in his own way, but he's also really interesting as compared to Philip and Elizabeth in terms of their ideological commitment to what they're doing. So because, you know, Stan is closer to Elizabeth in that he is like, a, you know, a true believer in his like patriotism and nationalism, unlike Philip, who is has much more complicated feelings. I guess we'll leave it at that. But Stan is interesting because his those loyalties for him are constantly challenged by his ability to do the thing that he thinks is right in those confines. And I think that's also really, really interesting to have alongside Elizabeth, who, you know, believes in what she thinks is right and is maybe periodically given orders that she questions. But even that, like she like, you know, she does her job. She's good at her job. And like her constraints are coming from outside. And it's things that Americans are doing that are getting in her way, which further entrenches that ideology. Whereas for Stan, his thing is more like, it's clear to me what is right in this situation. And like our system, which I believe in, which I believe is right, is now preventing me from doing the thing that I believe is right, you know?
Yes. My thoughts on Stan are a little, I guess, less sophisticated. I don't know. I think of it, I don't know if suspension of disbelief is like correct here, because what the hell do I know about spies in the 1980s? Not a lot. But I feel like every time I saw them in like a half wig costume like thing and nobody was able to identify them, there was a portion of me that's like, what is going on here? But I think that some of that like feeling of the FBI like fumbling around this and Stan living across the street and like not realizing anything, some of that was like, I don't know, I was placated because Stan is actually very good at his job, and had people listened to Stan more often, like things would have been figured out sooner. Uh-huh. And as soon as he had like a certain feeling about somebody, he was usually like dead on about them. And those instincts kind of put him at odds, like what you're talking about, Nicole, about, you know, him feeling like he knows what's going on and wanting to do what was right, but being hindered by like the what he was working within, you know, the structure or whatnot. So I think that I saw Stan more in that way of like making up for the story in a way that probably could have been more annoying to me. Like, why isn't anybody putting this together? Because Stan was actually doing a good job.
I think there's also a certain component to his character that he doesn't want to believe that he's right. Like, he likes Philip. Mm-hmm. He likes spending time. Like, it seems like, aside from his work buddies, Philip is his only friend. And, yes, you know, in the finale, in that final, I know we keep referencing that final episode. I know that we don't really want to do that. But like when they're in the garage and Stan's like, you were my best friend, and Philip's like, you were mine too. Like, there's a genuine friendship there. And I think as good as he is at his job, as much as he loves his country, as much as he knows that he wants to do what he wants to do, I think he doesn't want to have to go to his boss and be like, my neighbor's a Russian spy, because then it reflects poorly on him too. Like, well, why didn't you figure this out 5 years ago? You've been living next to him for years. Like, why did you not? But also, I think he just doesn't want to lose him. And also, just real quickly, going to your point about like the different wigs and different outfits, like, I don't know why anyone who's like describing these people to the FBI is not like, imagine the prettiest woman you've ever seen. Yes. That's who this is. And it's like, oh yes, of course, Elizabeth Jennings. Yes, yes. Check, I got it. I know exactly who that is.
Yes, absolutely. It's funny too, because the show Matthew Reese is also a very attractive man, but like, she is definitely the more attractive, you know, and so like the show comments on that periodically, and that's kind of funny to me too. All of the show's little comments on that were always very amusing to me.
This might be the right time to point out that they are now a married couple in real life because of this show, which I adore, which I love.
We were talking about this earlier today, actually. I don't think they're married. I think they are just together.
Okay.
But
they have
a child together.
Okay.
So yes.
I found this out today because I went to work and I was like, something, I've been binging The Americans, and my boss dropped that piece of trivia on me. She's like, did you know? I was like, no, I did not. So I immediately took to Wikipedia, as one does, on company time. But yeah, I learned that today.
Okay, so we keep sort of dancing around the finale. I want to talk about Paige really quickly, and then we can talk about the finale. Like, I think it would do Paige a disservice to not talk about her a little bit before we get to the finale. I think it was already acknowledged in the synopsis that Henry is kind of a non-entity in the show. Actually, my one comment on Henry
Holly Taylor, who plays Paige, posted a picture on Twitter. It was like a hashtag TBTU2 when I had a job. And it was a picture of the cast. It was like, you know, family photo at the SAG Awards. But it was her. It's Holly Taylor, Matthew Reese, Kerry Russell, and Margot Martindale, who plays Claudia. That was just the four of them. And then like later, she photoshopped in a much younger Henry. And I was like, yeah, that's the show right there, is that picture. So anyway, Paige, so that's my lone comment on Henry. Paige has a like wild and interesting journey on this show, and I think they got lucky in that they cast this child who turned out to be halfway decent at the job she was tasked to do at the end, which is always a gamble. She had a whole journey, discovering that her parents were spies and then getting all of these half-truths, about, you know, what exactly that meant and, you know, deciding who she was going to be. She has kind of a little coming-of-age story in that's like a C-plot on the show. But, how did you guys feel about that?
I loved Paige. I think that she definitely is on my list of favorite characters on the show. And that was a little bit of a surprise, because whenever you start a show with, you know, bratty teenager, that's going to fall different ways for people. Not that she was ever particularly, I don't know, she was just a teen. She had a lot of emotions. But I really enjoyed watching her story, because it was a little unexpected to me. The fact that she started going to church and she was obviously looking for something, but also that she was so aware. The thing about Henry is that not only is he a non-entity, but the way that Paige was like, something's up, like Henry never questioned anything. And whether that's a, you know, flaw of the writing or whatever.
He just loves his video games. That's it.
He just loved his video games. So the fact that Paige was like on it, that she, you know, figured it out to a certain degree, and that she was inquisitive, and that she went through the highs and lows of finding out that your parents are big fat liars, because that is what it is, you know. I enjoyed that entire journey. I think that I'm a little unresolved, I guess, about her in season 6, like now being a spy in training. And then the very end, obviously, we'll talk about like the way that her story ends. But for the most part, I enjoyed watching her go through her journey.
I thought Holly Taylor was great. I never really liked the character that much. And I think, you know, I mentioned The Sopranos a couple times before. Like, when I watched The Sopranos for the first time a couple years ago, my biggest problem with that show was the kids. And I feel like for these type of shows where – and also, same thing, I think, with Breaking Bad, too, where you have such great dynamics between, like, the leads, like, you know, husband and wife or cop and criminal or whoever, and then they want to tell a family story. And I feel like – it's not like they're an afterthought, but it doesn't feel as real or as genuine as the adult characters are, because I feel like the adult characters are fully formed, and the children, because of like the age they are, the age the characters are sort of growing into what they're going to become. And I think that the time jumps, in terms of my one comment about Henry, is I think the time jumps help just to get him, because like that kid hit puberty like in the middle of the show, and they needed to like advance to show them, because otherwise like 2 years goes by, but like it's like 6 years, and like he goes from being like this 10-year-old to like this dude playing hockey. And like I think that's the sort of, you know, that helps there as well as the narrative. But I think that Paige has interesting stories, and I think what they do with her character is really interesting, but I feel like she's never going to be as interesting to me as Philip or Elizabeth, or as, you know, just Nina and Oleg or whoever. You know what I mean? Like, I feel the adults are always going to be more, you know, at the heart of what I care about, just because I don't know how to articulate it really, but it's not an afterthought, but it's just sort of a kind of a less than storyline for me.
I generally agree with that. I definitely cared about Paige, but I would agree in the sense that, like, those were not my, you know, like the storylines that I was desperately waiting to return to, or, you know, like, hey, what's Paige up to? And I also think that part of what made her story interesting and compelling in the first place is how it impacted Philip and Elizabeth's story. Like, that was the thing that mattered first. And then eventually she got more of a story that was her own. And so I can definitely understand where you're coming from. I have a soft spot for Paige. I just want Paige to be happy. The fact that the last shot of her on the show is her like
stealing herself with a shot of Claudia's vodka for who knows what exactly, like, her game plan, like, what's she going to do next? Unclear. She hasn't done any murdering, so she'll, you know, probably be able to make it out of this somewhat okay, I guess. I thought that that was an interesting story to include in all of this. And to this point about it being an afterthought, it's also an afterthought kind of in universe. The premise of send these two people over there to build these fake lives and then no one will suspect that they're spies, and part of building those fake lives is, yeah, like, they'll have some kids and whatever, but, like, you know, then those kids are people who exist and, like, will have lives of their own. And so I don't know, the degree to which her story is maybe an afterthought also feels fitting. Like, there's something meta about that because her existence is almost an afterthought.
I think that part of, you know, what we're talking about with the show is very much like a family drama, but spies, and like period piece, but spies. And to me, there was a whole, like, aspect here of, like, Paige and Henry being first generation Americans that I thought was really neat, especially because they don't know that they are for a portion of this. But this entire idea of, like, Philip and Elizabeth even, like, talking about, like, the ideals of America and these kids and the way that they grew up and all of that, that felt oddly familiar as a first generation American, of even just like the back in my day kind of thing. So I always had a soft spot for Paige in that regard, because she's trying to navigate not only the but spies, but also just like her parents, obviously, like, trying to, I don't know, impress or impart something on her that, and she doesn't fully understand. So I think that's part of the reason that I had a soft spot for her, but also that idea and just getting to the finale, which we keep dancing around, but that whole idea of, like, you know, the doomed mission and the fact that they had these children, but how was this ever going to end? What was ever the game plan? And the fact that sometimes they were like, we got to go home and we got to take the kids. And they're like, take the kids away from America? And I'm like, what did you think was going to happen? Like, you were going to have these kids. And I don't know, like, this seemed like the eventuality. So that portion of her story probably feel it baked into her story. But how that plays out, you know, I don't know. It's up to you.
Yeah, your mileage may vary. Yeah. Okay, so this is the moment then to get into the finale. This doomed mission thing, I think, is really interesting. And it's one of the, like, thousand things that I want to talk about with this finale. I think first and foremost, I want to say that I think this is one of the best series finales I've ever seen. And so, like, I have a thousand feelings about it. The sense that you had these antiheroes on this doomed mission, and, like, the doomed mission making that story easier to watch, maybe, or something. I'm not quite sure. But that sense that loomed over the series comes around in an ending that I think is really, really interesting, in part because this final season is Philip and Elizabeth basically, like, their last mission is against the KGB itself. Like, that's their final job, is, like, taking down part of the KGB. And so that in and of itself is very, very interesting. And, like, the fact that they called this episode start, so after the, like, Strategic Arms Reduction Treaty, which is a thing that didn't actually happen until 91, and is, like, part of the sequence that sort of, like, marks the end of the Cold War. And, like, so this final season takes place at the end of 1987, which is, like, the sort of the beginning of the end for the Soviet Union and for the Cold War. And so I think it's really interesting that you have the feeling that their mission is doomed, and yet, like, the thing that they do in the end is, I don't know, maybe, like, saving the world. like, the fact that they named it after this treaty, this arms reduction treaty, implies, like, that is the thing that they did, was help create a version of the Soviet Union that allowed for arms reduction. I mean, I think that's being very simplistic. Obviously, there's a bunch of other historical factors, but focusing on, you know, Philip and Elizabeth and, like, what those characters mean, it seems to be a thing that the show is suggesting, that, like, ultimately they succeeded in kind of, like, a really big way, but in the end it cost them everything to do so. And I don't know. I think that is a really interesting way to have ended this show. I think I feel that way about basically everything in this episode. I think, like, there are tons of things that are surprising and yet inevitable at the same time. It's like everything the final season of Game of Thrones tried to be but failed to do. and I think it's just really powerful.
And I think there's something even more telling in that they save the world sort of by compromising their own morals, that Elizabeth goes against herself, like, you know, in the Jennings comma Elizabeth episode, like, I think that's the episode where she kills the KGB agent, like, or she intercepts because they figure out that there's like this sector within the KGB that wants to take out Gorbachev, and so they're trying to figure out, like, she's been so true to the cause for all six seasons, and now all of a sudden she's like, well, maybe they're wrong. And I don't know, you know, I wasn't able to watch the latter half of the seasons again, so I don't remember exactly, but I don't remember if she's like, is she grappling with that, or is that something that really comes to a head toward the end where she's like, this could be like, I was so dedicated to this cause. Obviously Philip has been sort of on the fence since the very beginning, but how much of her change of heart is really just in that final season, and how much has sort of played out over the last couple seasons? I don't really, could you, one of you, give me a little bit of a reminder or refresher?
I don't know that I would describe what she experiences as a full change of heart. Like, it is more that she recognizes that Claudia has been lying to her, and like, Claudia is manipulating her towards this coup. Like, that's basically the final season, is her and Philip stop a coup, and that is, you know, the spy stuff portion of it, which we didn't really talk about in the synopsis because it's not, you know, what really matters here in this like relationship drama. But ultimately, I read her actions at the end as still being in keeping with the like patriotism that drove her prior to that. Like, I don't think that broke in the end. I think like stopping a coup is still also an act of like of that patriotism. I think it is interesting because there's a little bit of an internal ideological conversation going on where Philip and Oleg represent the, you know, Gorbachev like future sort of vision, and like Elizabeth definitely had a kind of like older, and she was more resistant. She has this whole conversation with Philip where she's, you know, shouting about how she doesn't want to be like the Americans, like that's not what she wants to have happen. And so there's maybe a little bit of an ideological shift in that she's less resistant to that, the threat of that. But I don't know. So this is like a long, rambly way of saying that I would push back on the idea that Elizabeth stopped being like a true believer. Like, I think maybe it shifted, you know, the focus of that belief maybe shifted a little bit. But I think she was still pretty fundamentally like a Soviet patriot at the end. Going back off of the spy stuff and the geopolitical stuff, there are a lot of really, really interesting things going on in this episode. I think the thing that like really broke me, got me ugly sobs both on first watch and again on rewatch, is the moment where we see Paige on the platform.
Yep.
And that scene is so wild because they wind up your expectations with the security check, and you're sure that somebody is going to get caught here. Possibly, probably Paige, honestly. Like, that was my thought. Like, Paige would get caught, and like then this would be the moment that they'd be forced to like reveal themselves or in some sort of way to defend or protect Paige, come to her rescue. I don't know what exactly. And like, there's so much tension in that scene as they show this slow search happening, and then, you know, the train starts moving, nobody's got caught, everything's fine, until you see the look of terror on Elizabeth's face before you see Paige on the platform, and just like, oof, my heart.
And I don't think we've mentioned in this entire episode so far the beautiful way, like, the needle drops in the series, all the 80s songs are so good, and the yes. U2 With or Without You there, like, the song begins and then drops out for a while and then comes back as Bono is, like,
the whale.
Yeah, uh-huh. And just, whew, like, I knew it was coming and I still got chills. I'm getting chills right now thinking about it because it's so perfectly just, like, powerful in that moment. Like, from the very beginning, from the very first scene of the series is like, we're going to have the coolest 80s songs in the perfect time. Like, we're going to have the best needle drops of all time. And it goes from, like, the very first scene to basically the very last scene. We're just like, mm-hmm, this is exactly mm-hmm. going to pair. Like, you're never going to be able to hear this song without thinking of this scene again. And it's going to make you, you know, want to sob every time you think about it.
Yep. It's true.
I think that the show did had a number of these moments where I was like shook. I was surprised. I was not expecting it. But also like any moment of like going back and thinking of it, I was like, of course, that's the way that it happened. Like, mm-hmm. this is not mm-hmm. actually surprising, I guess, but it also caught me off guard. And Paige on the platform, like looking at her parents, that was definitely a moment where I was like, what the hell? But then also, of course, like, of course, that's what happened. Paige didn't actually leave. So, yes, that moment was super emotional. And I think that what really like got me super emotional was the like, you know, her panic face, Elizabeth's panic face as she was watching. But then Philip immediately getting up and like rushing over mm-hmm. and then just mm-hmm. sitting next to his wife. And like that moment of like their shared like, what the hell, but also still in character, still spies, still, you know, kind of taking it in a quieter way. I thought emotions.
The other, I think, big and important scene in this finale is the garage scene with Stan, which is like a whole like 10-minute, you know, commercial break to commercial break scene, them in the garage. And every second of it is perfect. I just, from Stan's like casual hey at the beginning of the scene when he first spots them in the garage, all the way through, and we've talked about this already, but the way that Philip is confessing all of his complicated feelings about his life and also working Stan Beeman one last time in order to get his family away. And I think that was also really interesting. I last night after I finished reading, read a couple of reviews, and I saw a review that described that scene as purely Philip being a spy. And that felt false to me. Like, it feels false to say that it was purely that and not also, you know, some earnestness mixed in there.
I think it's probably like 2/3 spy, 1/3 earnest, or maybe half and half. Yeah. Like, it's, there's definitely, like, he's going to say or do whatever it takes to get him out of that garage alive, like him and his family out, or at least his family out, right? Like, he's going to, if he has to charge at Stan and take him down and whatever, let Elizabeth and Paige get out, like, I think he's mm-hmm, going to do that. Mm-hmm. But I also think he's like, you know me, and I know that, like, I screwed you over and that I made you look the fool all these years, but you have to trust me here that what I'm doing has merit and that, you know, I'm sorry, but I gotta be true to me.
I don't know how much of earnestness is in there. It's tough for me to really like pull that apart from the fact that you know almost immediately that he's lying and he's saying right. what he needs to say to get away. And they're even like right there in the scene, I think there's like even some disagreement between the three of them, between the Jennings, on how to handle this, because they start to say like, no, Matt, like Paige didn't know. And Paige is like, no, like I need to be honest about this part. So I don't know. They're even like trying to navigate how to deal with this like within themselves. And then they're because so many of these things are left like open-ended in the finale in general, like it's hard not to think about what Philip is doing there in terms of manipulation. And I think that like the last final like, hey, by the way, your wife might be a spy and drive mm-hmm, away, mm-hmm. like that felt very manipulative and deliberate. And then to turn and like look and say how much of that was earnest, or was he just looking out for his pal Stan, who never really, I guess they were each other's closest friends, but that's not really saying much because neither of them had friends. And they came, I don't know, there were so many times where it felt more like a strained relationship than like a sincere buddy old pal kind of relationship. So I am leaning towards 2/3 spy.
So yes, 2/3 feels like a solid breakdown to me, but I also think that even that final line still falls into this category of being like, we know that Philip believed that Renee was maybe a spy. Yeah. He talked about this. Like, this was a thing that came up. This was a thing that bothered him. Like, a thing that he was concerned about legitimately, honestly. He was concerned that this was true and, like, was upset about the idea that, like, this had happened and that if it had, it was his fault that this happened. Like, he says to Elizabeth that, you know, he's been putting a lot of stuff about Stan in his reports so they would know that he is a loner and that he would go for her type. And so, and like, if the Soviets sent René, that would have been almost entirely on him. And so, like, this is a thing that there was set up for, the idea that this was a thing that bothered him. Was this also a spy move? Like, 100% yes. Like, yes, I don't like that. I'm not saying it wasn't, but I think that there too, it is false to say that it was only that, that this, like everything else, was simultaneously a solid strategic move, and also like the last thing he could do as a friend is to like warn him about the, you know, this possibility, you know, like I think it is complicated. I feel this way about basically everything on this show. I think that any sort of reductive answer is usually wrong. But I think even in that moment, I think it's more complicated than just, you know, spy or friend.
Because I do think he cares. And I think we've, you know, I think that's right. What you're saying. Like, I think it's also like the sort of thing where you say a thing where the guy is so stunned that he can't move. But it's also, hey, yes. I care about you and you might want to look into this a little bit.
Yes.
Is René a spy?
Joey, you mentioned earlier that you weren't sure, you know, how you felt about that, the open-endedness of that ending.
Yes.
And to me, I think it's perfect. I think it's fucking perfect. Like, I think that the fact that the show, in the end, ties up the essential threads, you know, like this sort of core question of Philip and Elizabeth living to hide another day is over. They are not hiding. Stan knows the truth. And those sort of essential questions that drove the show have been resolved. But all of these larger questions about what does the future actually hold for any of these characters, yes, there is this part of me that wants all the answers. Like, I want to know. I want, like, a thorough, detailed explanation of how these people's lives play out. You know, we're now, what, like, 30 years out from this finale. And so, like, I would love to know what happens with the next 30 years of these people's lives. But also, I think that the open-endedness, I don't know, it's kind of the point. Like, the René's entire character existed to show how fucked up this living like this made these people. I mean, obviously there are all sorts of other things going on in the show that like demonstrated that.
I was gonna say, like, as is like every character, yeah, like Martha, like everybody. Yeah. It's just like, oh, this is a terrible life to be on, no matter who you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. But I think like the fact that this woman comes into Stan's life and the first thought is, well, is she a spy? Like, like that's like that is like wild, and it's like a valid and legitimate thought. And like I think it, like that is the point of her character. The point of her character is to ask that question, not to answer it. So I don't know if René is a spy.
Also, I don't know if it matters, right? Because it's still no. Worry either way. It's the right. My neighbor a spy? Is my wife a spy? I don't. It's poor Stan.
I enjoyed the open-endedness of it. You know, as you said, Paige just going back to the empty safe house and drinking some vodka, and you don't really know what's going to happen to her or Henry for that matter. The fact that we don't hear what Stan says to Henry, and, you know, that just kind of being like a big who knows. And even just like the very, you know, standing on a bridge and thinking about our lives way that Philip and Elizabeth go out. I think it felt like the end of this story, but not the whole story. And I think that with period pieces, you kind of feel like you're dropping into something that has already happened and we've moved on from. So the way that it closed very much felt like, you know, there's more to come, obviously, that we've already lived. But it was like the closure of this story.
Yeah.
My one negative thing that I have to say about this show. And it is beautifully written, beautifully shot. I loved it. My one complaint was about the dialogue sometimes, and just the fact that I know it's like a drama thing, but there were so many times that like big important things were said and then they would just like peter off dramatically. And it happened a lot when Elizabeth and Philip were parenting, and Paige especially would say something like super dramatic, like, "You guys don't even love me," and like stomp away, and it would just like silence. And I'm somebody say something. Somebody say, like, no, you're wrong. We love you. Or, like, something that would, like, better the situation or follow up from, like, the very tense thing that they were just talking about. But a lot of times it would just, like, you know, go into nothingness or long stares or whatnot. And I appreciate how it added to, like, the atmosphere. And I know it's dramatic, but a lot of times I was just like, no, follow through. Use your words.
I do actually want to put one last sort of question, finale related, how you feel about the way that things ended for this pair of anti-heroes and, you know, whether or not this ending feels just to you.
I remember when this was airing live, my one friend who watched the show and I were had like a week long discussion, like, what, how is this going to shake out? Because it's like, is Stan going to, because it really could have been like, they could have been killed, they could have been captured, they could have gotten away, the whole family could have gotten away. And I feel like it's the bittersweet ending that, not that they deserve, but that sort of feels right. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it'd be extra cruel if Henry was stuck in America alone and the three of them are in Russia. I think Paige being somewhere maybe that she can talk to him, I'm not sure. But I just feel like it's appropriate. Like, it's a happy ending, but not a truly happy ending. And for these people who sort of lived on the line between good and bad or right and wrong or Russia and America, like, they get to safety, but everything that they have worked for in a lot of different ways no longer happens, or is no longer the case, is no longer true, is no longer theirs.
Yeah, I think that this is a super tragic ending in its own right. I was expecting someone to die, so that didn't happen. And so you would think that there was some, like, measure of, like, well, you know, like, the happiness over the fact that they didn't die. And, you know, they did, in fact, end up where they were threatening, like, for a lot of the season to go, just go back home, call it quits. And that was kind of like the what they were working towards, was this ability to just stop and go back to Moscow. But when you get there, I think that you really, truly realize how tragic that ending is for them. Even though I guess that there is safety there, they built a life. And Philip says it in his two-thirds spy, one-third earnest speech in the garage. Like, he's been in the United States now for so long. You know, he built a life there. He became, in a lot of ways, or absorbed a lot of American things or ways of being or, what have you, while he was here in his time in the U.S. So I think that sending them back and then having built a life, raised children, and then having to let all of that go, and they arrive back with nothing but, like, the clothes on their back. I think there is a bit of tragedy to that story that also is what you get when you're a spy. I don't know. Like, I can't feel too bad for them. Like, that's what you get.
It's the, like, appropriate amount of tragedy.
Yes.
And it's, you know, interesting, of course, because like you said, we know some of what's coming for them in ways that they don't. You know, Elizabeth's angry speech about not wanting to become like them, you know, not wanting Pizza Huts and McDonald's and shit. But like those things were coming to Moscow. Like, so, you know, it is. I agree with everything that you're saying. And I think this, you know, this question of justice, I kind of put the question out there because I think it's worth asking when you're talking about an anti-hero story. And I think that it's one that comes up a lot. And it's part of why I have mixed feelings about a lot of them. Not that I think it's my job as a viewer of television to become the, like, moral arbiter of justice. But I think that this show was constantly noting that, like, justice isn't always served. Like, Oleg was a fundamentally decent guy and he's, you know, gonna rot in prison for who knows how long. And, you know, Nina died, like, so on and so forth. Like, there are many examples of, you know, people not having justice served. But I agree fundamentally that I think that this ending, the bittersweetness of this ending for them, of them returning to their country, you know, with their kids similar ages to how old they were when they left their parents behind. They are now leaving their children behind to essentially have the same, you know, non-contact with them. Possibly, although actually that's kind of the other open-ended piece of this, is that it's very possible they could meet up in some, you know, country without an extradition treaty at some point in the years that we know what's coming. Maybe, but I don't know that Paige would ever want that. Henry probably definitely wouldn't. But at any rate, I agree that this ending is ultimately, like, the correct sort of bittersweet for these two spies.
If you're Henry, where do you go from here?
I mean, Henry is at his fancy school. He's almost going to graduate. So it seems like probably he's got the, like, you know, social resources to maybe stick it out, especially because Stan loves him. Like, maybe Stan will help put him through the end of get him out of the school. And if he graduates from this fancy ass school, I feel like he's got opportunities. I feel like he'll be okay.
But I'm also, something I didn't think about the first time, but I was thinking about today, is that when news breaks, I'm assuming that news is going to break because, like, the FBI is at the Jennings house. Like, wouldn't his classmates probably bully him into calling him, like, spy kid? Or, you know what I mean? Like, they would, I feel like his life is sort of
maybe
over too. I don't know. I guess, I mean, he sort of feels, I guess, like the whole series a little bit like an afterthought. Like, I think the big intrigue here is, what does Paige do? Because we know that Philip and Elizabeth are going to make it or they're not. And it doesn't really matter because their story is over. It's like, what is Paige going to do? And then Henry is like, oh, okay. But I do wonder if he's, you know, because he does have, it does seem like, you know, he's got a father figure in his life. He's well off. He's at this nice school, like you're saying. But, you know, if news comes out that his parents are Russian spies, that's not good.
Yeah, I don't know. And I guess I also don't really, much like the writers, don't really care.
So. I mean, I would care if that spinoff series, like.
That's true. I would watch that.
I would watch that. Yes.
Well, until we are given our Henry Jennings spinoff series, or Jennings, Henry spinoff series, I think this is going to do it for our discussion of The Americans. Thank you so much to Joey for joining us to talk about this show. And thank you to all of you for listening. If you are enjoying this podcast, we would love it if you would rate and review us in Apple Podcasts or Stitcher, or joined our community on Patreon at patreon.com/snarksquad. We also want to hear all of your thoughts on The Americans. There will be a post dedicated to this episode up on snarksquad.com, or you can find us on Twitter at snark_squad. I am at Sweeney Says.
You can find me at My Name is Marines.
And I'm at Soul Pop, just about everywhere on the internet, or cageclub.me/Joey.
Thank you, as always, to Stefan Chin for the theme music that is playing us out right now, and we will be back in your feed again next week. Bye.
Bye.